Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
So we do, we are glad, as I said, that you are, that you're here this morning, and we do have a treat. You know, a couple weeks ago when I had an opportunity to speak last, I had a friend of my mom's, a dear friend of my mother's who showed up, and, if I can get Pastor Harvey to keep it down over there to him and Rob. I know it was Rob. dear friend of my mom's showed up, and I've invited her a couple times before, and then she surprised me when she showed up, and it meant so much that she was able to, because she's been so encouraging to me and what I'm trying to do in my ministry, and it was such an honor to have her here. So I can't imagine what it would be like as Pam gets ready to come to speak to us today, because she gets to have her son Stephen here, hear her for the first time. He's here from Denver. So Stephen, it's good to have you, brother. And he said, Mom, I want to hear you speak. And Pam, she said she wasn't too sure about it. He goes, no, Mom, I'm going to be there. I want to hear you speak. So she has a great chance to speak, and her son gets to hear her for the first time. So we're going to bring Pastor Pam Patton up to speak to us today.
Turn it off. Okay. Well, thank you. Well, in fact, once Stephen said, yeah, Mom, I'd love for you to speak while I'm there, I'm like, well, hey, how about if you join me up on the stage for the first few minutes and have you just greet everyone while you're here. So, I thought we could put a face to you guys hear me share stories about with our oldest son, our middle son, Sean. You see him in the drum cage on Sundays. And then many of you know our youngest son. Here you go, Steve. Try not helping with the mic. Usually I could just talk to him and he can follow my voice pretty well.
Nope.
So right up here, bud.
Coming from everywhere.
Let me. Here you go. I have to stand a little bit back from here, or I'll probably make a noise. So go ahead, bud.
Well, hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm just so thrilled to be in town. Like I said, Mom, are you too close to me back here?
I am.
Hi. No, but it's so great to be in town just for a few days here in the middle of the summer. I normally would be hung up at a blindness convention in Florida, but my boss was able to give me that time off, and I'm so happy for that. But I just wanted to kind of give everybody a little update on what I've been up to. You know, I haven't lived in St. Louis now in this area since, well, for about 12 years now, which is crazy that the time has gone by that fast. But what I'm doing out there is I'm a what's called a cane travel instructor, and so what I do is I teach blind people how to navigate environments. So I've been living in Denver now, you know, like I said, 12 years, and been doing this job now for the last 9 years or so on a full-time basis. And what I get to do is, you know, I work with blind people who are, you know, maybe just lost their sight. Maybe they've been blind their whole life like myself. And, you know, I'm teaching them independent skills where I work. And it's just such a blessing. You know, one of the things that's really cool is that, you know, that I've been reminded over the years is that doesn't really matter, you know, what you're doing, but, you know, there's a good chance that if you're, you know, that you're ministering to people all the time as you're out doing whatever it is you do. Whether that, you know, that might not necessarily be, you know, singing praise and worship songs or reading the Bible, but anytime that you bless somebody, no matter what that is, I feel like that's a ministry, and I'm just so thankful that I've been able to kind of think of it that way as a teacher. But more recently, you know, so athletics has been a big part of my life. They've recently invented blind ice hockey, and I was so psyched about that. Oh, yeah. And I hear my buddy, my blues buddy Beth down there. We'll have to talk about it some more after this, Beth. But I was able to play and learn to play blind ice hockey. I just ran a 5K a few weeks ago. So life's been really good, and things have been going really well out there for me. So thanks for letting me catch you guys up on everything for a couple of minutes.
Sean's coming up here, bud.
You
hand that to Mike. No, thank you. I will share. I told Steve, I said, I didn't know if I'd share any of his fun stories today, but I thought, yeah, why not? Real quick, we had, when we first started meeting, we met at the school. And one time after we had just got out of church, and we used to help tear everything down and put it away. And at the time, the older two boys were 16 and 18. And we were trying to get Sean to learn how to drive. So I said, you know, Sean, it's not very busy out. Maybe it'd be a good time to practice driving. And he was like, no, I'm good. And I went, oh, come on. So I'm like begging him to drive home and practice driving. He's like, no. And finally, all of a sudden, Steve said, I'll drive. And I said, well, you know, I need to teach someone how to drive today. So, Steve, you go ahead and get in the driver's seat. Sean and Seth are just looking like me and deer in headlights going, she's not serious. I'm like, no, I buckle up. Seriously. So we got Steve in. Now, Steve doesn't even know where anything's at. So we're talking him through going, feel the steering wheel, feel the gas and the brake. You know, we're talking him all through it. So we start going around, and the parking lot was empty at the time. So we're driving around, we're making a big circle, and he's going a little faster. And Steve is the type, once he feels comfortable, he'll just keep going faster and faster. So he kept going faster and faster, and he wasn't slowing down. And all of a sudden, we're coming to a pretty high curb. And I told him, I said, you got to start slowing down, and you got to start turning. Start turning. Stop. Well, slow down. Finally, I just yelled, stop. And he stopped. He slammed on the brake. Thank goodness we all did have our seatbelts on, because we were all laughing so hard we were crying. The funny thing, too, is when we got home, Rick had been sleeping during the day because he'd worked there in the night, and he would ask us, you know, how everything went, and we were like, and one of the boys chimed in and said, yeah, Steve drove after church. It's like, we're all here, we're all alive, it's fine. But I wanted to speak to you today what God had put on my heart, and as I put a title to it, Value Your Time in the Wilderness, I started thinking, I don't know if most of us ever feel like we value our time in the wilderness or appreciate it, but I started thinking of the scripture in James 1:2, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience trials of many kind. I have never heard one person say, that is my favorite scripture in the Bible, is to consider it pure joy when you're going through many trials. And I thought about the Thanen family. I haven't even talked to Kelly about this, but I am really confident that a couple weeks ago, if we had said, you know, if she had reached out to God and said, God, I've just been lacking joy in my life. If you could just have three of my four kids and my husband have to spend time in the hospital or the emergency room in the next few days, that would be amazing. if you could just add that joy to my life, I could promise you that was never came out of her mouth. But when I talking about that for what James was saying there, and this will be a little bit of my interpretation of that, is I really don't think he was talking about, you know, it's a healthy thing when we experience tragedy, when we experience grief, you know, to have that time of grieving, to have that time of mourning. That's a normal, healthy thing. I don't think he was talking about in that. I really think he was talking about what it produces in us, what it does to us once we've went through a trial or we've went through time in the wilderness. And I wanted to start out reading here. There's a couple of stories in the Bible that talks about time that was spent in the wilderness. And the first one I'm going to jump into here is with the Israelites, and starting in chapter 8. And I'll go ahead and start in verse 1 here. And it says, be careful to follow every command I've given you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And a couple things, I want to stop there for just a moment. A couple of things as far as when we head into the wilderness, what takes us there? And one of the things is unfortunately it is our wrong choices, our poor choices, sometimes is what takes us into a trial or a time in the wilderness. Maybe none of you have ever made a bad choice or a poor choice, but I will say for me that there's been times over the years where I've made a poor choice or a bad choice, and it took me down a path that was uncomfortable or was, you know, created a trial in our family. So there's that, there's that. And then another time that can also lead us into the wilderness or a trial is sometimes it's not necessarily that we have sinned, but maybe we haven't been obedient. And when I say that, it could be that maybe God has asked you to either start doing something, or maybe he's asked you to stop doing something, to make a change, and you haven't done that yet. You know, there's times where we have, you know, where God's, you know, you're like, I'm in a rut. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know, I feel like I haven't heard from God forever. I just haven't heard him. I just haven't heard his voice lately. I just don't feel like I've got direction. It could be that the last time he gave you direction, whether that was a month ago, 6 months ago, 5 years ago, that you still haven't been obedient to the last time he told you to do something. And he's still waiting. He's waiting for you to follow the last thing he told you to do before he's going to give you the next thing to do and possibly something that will lead you into the promised land. Picking it back up in verse 3 there, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known to teach you, and a man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. The other point I wanted to make there is just the fact that it's a lot of times, most of the time, if you really think about it, when we see miracles from God, when we see God show up in a big way, it's been because we're going through the wilderness or we're going through a trial. That's when we get to see God show up, when everything's going great. It's usually not in those moments that we see God. It's usually in those moments, especially when we're extremely desperate for God, that we'll see God show up in that way. So I'm going back just on the first two things. One, could be a bad choice, something that we've done to take us in. Also, it could be choice of going into the wilderness, could be that something where we just haven't been obedient to follow God's direction on something that he's given us to do or not to do. And then the next one I want to read is actually the story about when Jesus was in the wilderness. And that I'm going to read the one that's located in Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of it, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. We just heard that scripture in Deuteronomy, right? So Jesus was quoting scripture. The devil led him up the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, I will give you all this authority and the authority and splendor. It is given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Again, he quoted scripture. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down here. Now this is Satan saying, for it is written. How many times do we do that to ourselves, where we take us one scripture out of context in God's word, and then we apply it and go, it's okay if I do this. It says, and we pull one scripture out of context, and we justify something that we're doing. And that's what Satan will use it, and he'll use us to us to justify our own sins that we want to be okay with, that we'll pull something, because scripture interprets scripture. You have to take the Bible as a whole. And sometimes we will take that, at least I will say, I've been guilty of that, where you take that one scripture and it makes you feel good about doing something that maybe if you really dig into scripture, it's really not what that was intended for. But so it says here, and this is again, this is the devil talking. It says, for it is written, he will come, he will command his angels according concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. He was quoting from Psalms there. Jesus answered, again using scripture, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left until an opportune time. See, the other part of that is when we're going through times, we're going through trials, we're going through the wilderness, is Jesus is our example. When we study God's word, a big reason that we look into and we study the life of Christ is because he is our example of how we live Christ-like. So if we're using Jesus as how we handle when we go through temptation, when we go through a trial, it's because he already had the word in his heart and he was able to throw that scripture back out. It's to help him, and it also could be that we can help someone else during that time. So, and I reflected back on a time for our family after Rick and I was married. One of the first big trials that we went through was when Stephen was born. He was born blind, but we didn't know he was blind until he was 4.5 months old. So he was 4.5 months old was when we found that out. Now, so for us, that was the time that we were going through that time of a trial, or you could consider at least for a period of time in the wilderness and having to tell all of our friends and family and that. But when I remember one of the first things that came to my mind, you know, when they first told us, the doctor called us out into the hallway to tell us about Stephen's sight. You know, when they pull you away from everyone, they're not going to give you good news. They pulled us out into the hall and they told us, she started explaining that your son, that our understanding is he can only see light and dark and he won't be able to see anything else clearly. And I can tell you one of the early thoughts, and when people would ask us in those early days, how are you doing? Seriously, like friends and family that were close to us and loved our family, and they would say, seriously, how are you doing? And what the word would come to me on a regular basis was, you know what? I know God's word says he won't put more on us than we can handle, and I know that he will be there with us. So I don't know what next week looks like. I don't know what next month looks like. I don't know what next year looks like. But I know that God's going to not put more on us than we can handle, and that he's going to be there with us. Now, at that time, I couldn't have told you where that scripture was. I knew it was in the word. So don't always get hung up on, I know Pastor Barry has talked about that. This is man that added scripture and, you know, verse and chapter to the Bible. The important thing is you have the word in you. If you have a great memory and you can remember whole books of the Bible, you're awesome. Go for it. I don't have a memory like that. But I know a lot about what's in God's word from studying over the years. Now, I know today that scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and the way that reads is, I took it out of the Message Bible, and it says, no test or temptation comes our way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down, he will never let you be pushed past your limits, and he'll always be there to help you come through it. And I'm telling you, in those early days when we had that trial, but I knew that before we went through the trial. You see that it was a word that I already knew before. And so it helped me, because we don't know when you're going to be hit with a trial or a time in the wilderness. And we don't always have our phone there to Google and say, hey, what does scripture say about this? Sometimes we just need to already have that word in our heart. And sometimes we need to have that for something to help us. But then there's those times where I'm kind of uniquely qualified to walk through with people that have kids with special needs. Our oldest son was born blind. Our youngest son has Asperger's syndrome, a high-functioning autism. So we've experienced that. We've walked through that. Some of you have that unique qualification that you could help someone step through a divorce because you've been there and you've done that. Some of you can help the loss, unfortunately, of a child, and you can be there for someone else, and you've been there and done that and came through that. And I'll just read it here real quick. Someone had just, I had shared as I was preparing this message, and then I heard this expanded on, and I'll just mention it briefly here, but I love it when scripture confirms what God's already put in our heart. And in Luke 22, 31 and 32, it says, Simon, Simon. Now, Simon we also know as Peter. And this was right before, this is the scriptures right before God, or Jesus is going to tell him, hey, by the way, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. So this is that scripture right before that. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me, so in the NIV it says, when you have repented and turned to me. In the Best Message Bible there, it says, when you have come through a time of testing. So this is for telling Peter. So once you've went through this, once you've came out of it, you're on the other side of it, comma, strengthen your brothers. So when we've been through our own trials, we've been through our own time in the wilderness, part of that is so that we can go then help out our brothers or our sisters that are going through similar trials that we've already been through. And often we can give them hope that maybe nobody else can because we've experienced what they've are about to experience or are starting to go through. We can go alongside of them. So when Stephen, we had first found out about his blindness, that was our time as a trial and in the wilderness because, you know, we'd never even been around a blind person, let alone now God was entrusting us to raise one. And so, you know, and Stephen, when we found out 4.5 months, the only thing wrong with him at that time was he didn't have his sight. So he was just a happy-go-lucky kid that had no idea he was any different than anybody else. So that was our time. But as Stephen got older, then he started to realize he was different and started realizing. And Stephen, about the time he was 14, going into ninth grade. Now, how many know 14 is a challenging... Alyssa, yeah, I'm talking to you, girl. How many know 14 is a challenging age in the best of circumstances? So Stephen, right at about ninth grade there, he started shutting down on us. The thing was, at the time, he had a lot of his friends at our other church that was about a year to 2 years older than him. So a lot of them were starting to get their driver's permit. A lot of them were starting to get, you know, jobs, part-time jobs. Stephen started just bulking at school. He was like, you can't make me go to school. And Stephen, by this time, was taller than me. And I'm like, I will make you go to school. I mean, your dad might help me, but it's happening. you're going, you know, but it was like this constant battle. And, you know, when he would come to us, it wasn't in sadness at this point. It was bitterness. He was saying, I can't go work at a fast food restaurant. I can't go to the grocery store and work. What am I going to do to make money? My other friends are all starting to go out and make money. He's like, I'm not going to be able to drive. Well, he shouldn't. We learned that. He shouldn't. But if any of you have ever watched a friend, a close friend, a spouse, start diving into the pit of depression and watch them just sink and watch them every day struggle to do anything because they are so down and they don't see any hope. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what, you know, they have. And it's, you feel when that's your child, when it's your spouse, when it's a close friend, you feel so helpless. You feel so desperate for God. Please, God, you got to help me out here. I'm clueless. I don't know. I honestly, Steve would throw these questions out and I'm like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know, you know, and it's hard as a parent. You want to, when your child's 14, 15, you want to be that person to be able to go, I got all the answers, but we didn't. And we knew we were so desperate for God at that time. And as we continued to pray, as the school year continued on and he was struggling, I remember at one point we had visited over the years Missouri School for the Blind, which is downtown St. Louis. And I, at one point, I said it as a threat. I was like, Steve, I think he was in the back seat, and I looked through the rearview mirror, and I said, maybe we should check out Missouri School for the Blind again. I'll never forget, Steve looked back at me just as curt, and he said, maybe we should. And then I started crying. I was like, oh, I didn't mean that. Because to go down to Missouri School for the Blind was going to be that he was going to be residential down there. That meant that he wasn't going to be here on a regular basis on Sundays with us. That meant he wasn't going to be, our kids were always, always active in the youth group. That meant he wasn't going to be able to be active in the youth group. Oh, I couldn't even talk about it for months to people without just tearing up at the thought of going, I don't know. And people would try to console us going, well, yeah, we took our 18-year-old that sees fine and dropped him off at college, and we understand what you're going through. And we're like, at 15, you can't see, and we're dropping him off in St. Louis. We did a lot of praying at that time. But we made the decision. Well, with a lot of prayer, with a lot of research, we made that decision. Stephen, as he mentioned, loves sports, has always loved sports. He was so excited. He was actually going to get to compete in sports down at Missouri School for the Blind. The first thing was track. So they did track and swimming and wrestling. And I will say, he called us right after. the first couple of weeks he was there. Some of you I've shared this story with before, but they were at track practice, and he called me and he said, Mom, things happen at this school that just doesn't happen at other schools and like regular school. And I said, like, what type stuff? And he's like, well, for instance, we were practicing high jump. Now there's a whole visual bunch of blind guys doing high jump, but they don't run. They usually just stand and jump over. But anyway, so he said, we were high jump, and he said, one of the kids with a glass eye jumped over and his eye popped out, glass eye popped out. And he said, the bad thing was, it was all blind guys around, so it was all blind guys trying to crawl around and find the glass eye. I'm like, oh my gosh, Steve, did they find it? And he goes, yeah, they found it. And I was like, you're right, that stuff doesn't happen at regular high school. So we got to go down, though, to the first track meet when we were down, and he was down doing the track down there. And so he was explaining everything to us and how they adapt everything, and we went to the first track meet. And he was explaining to us the different events he was in. And he said, now there's quite a bit of time in between different events. And we said, no, we understand. And so he said, well, now will you be able to hang with us in between events, or what will you do in between events? And he said, oh, that's the cool thing, Mom, is he said, guys like me that get around better, I'll go around and help the guys that don't get around as well and help them get from event to event. And about that time, someone called him and said, hey, Steve, we need you to help this guy get over, you know, to one of his events. And again, I just began to tear up. I watched life come back into our son that year that he started attending in 10th grade to Missouri School for the Blind. And when you've watched someone go through the wilderness and you've watched him go through any form of depression, and then you finally see that light come back into them, and you see them start to come back to life again, and you see that joy come back into them. And what we were watching our son have so much joy and so much life in him again. And he had went from a high school where everybody had to help him to where now he was big man on the campus and he was helping other people. And we watched this as he came back. See, we sometimes, when we've gone through a time that seems like such a dark time, a depression time, a time in the wilderness, sometimes what God is saying is, I need you to go on a different path, and I don't know how else to get you there. I don't know how else to convince you that it's your time to move on in a different direction. And he'll allow us to go through times that we don't understand. And honestly, sometimes while we're on this earth, we might not ever understand some of the trials and wildernesses that we go through. But there's times like this where we can see God's hand on it, and sometimes we feel rejected. We've been rejected by a good friend. We've been rejected by a spouse. We've been rejected by maybe a place of that we've worked, a business. And what God's doing is, don't feel rejected. He's telling you, I'm redirecting you to go in another way, to go do something else. I'm directing you to go and do your purpose and be, and go on a different path, that there was no other way that he could get us to go there if he didn't take us through that. So just to summarize real quick here is, sometimes we're in the wilderness because we've made bad choices, but know that if you have those bad choices in your life, bad decisions, the scripture also tells us that God can take what was meant for evil and turn it into good. So just because we've made choices that wasn't pleasing to God at the time, know that he can take that and he can make you better and stronger because of that. And if you, time in the wilderness is sometimes because we're not being obedient, because God's wanting us to do something, change something, go a different direction, and he's waiting for us to be obedient in the last thing he's asked us to do. So seek that out. If you've not heard from God in a while and you don't know why you're in just that rut or that dry time, seek God out and find out. Third, make sure you're always in God's Word. Make sure you have that in your heart. Make sure that you have God's Word to where, like you said, if it's needed for you or if it's needed that you can help someone else. And fourth, know that sometimes when it feels like you're being rejected, when it feels like you're in such a dry, hard time and just a wilderness that you don't understand, know that it's sometimes the only way God can redirect you and get you to go the way he'd have you to go. I heard recently, and it was such a pretty picture to me, is it was talking about, you know, we know that in the scripture it tells us that God's the potter and we're the clay. And it was talking about when we're on the wheel and that God's shaping us and molding us. And sometimes if you watch a potter, he has to cut some of that clay away and it hits the floor and he let it go, just cuts it away and lets it go. We have to be careful not to be grabbing those pieces of clay and trying to stick it back on and make it work in our life when God's cut it away and it's not supposed to be there anymore. Let me just go ahead and close in prayer here today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show each of us. Lord, when we haven't done the things that you've wanted us to do, or Lord, that we haven't went the direction that you would have us to, Father, we thank you that you guide our steps. And Father, we thank you that you do go before us and you are with us throughout each and every day. Father, we just pray that you should go with us throughout this day, throughout this week. Father, we just pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice. Lord, that we would seek after you. Father, that we wouldn't wait till we were in the wilderness, until we were in that trial, to realize how desperate we are for you and how desperate we are for your direction. Father, we just pray, Lord, as you go with us throughout the coming days, Lord, help us be bold, Lord, and do and say the things you'd have us to do. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Pam. Give her a hand. Yes.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.